First, let's take a look at our headlines.
President Miguel Díaz-Canel meets with the diplomatic corps accredited in Cuba.
Cuban foreign minister calls for action against climate change.
Pentagon admits more U.S. troops treated after attack on U.S. Iraqi base.
Venezuelan National Assembly to investigate U.S. funding of Guaido.
And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel held on Wednesday a meeting with the diplomatic corps accredited here in Cuba. In the exchange here in Havana, other government authorities and representatives of national institutions also participated. Cuba maintains diplomatic relations with 197 states and international institutions and 116 embassies and 6 agency representations are present in the national territory.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez has called for action against climate change, considered a threat to survival and whose effects are already irreversible. The last decade was the hottest recorded to date, and 2019 is confirmed as the second warmest year since records exist, stated the Cuban top diplomat on Twitter. The World Meteorological Organization warned that the heat waves of recent years have been the most lethal, affecting all continents and setting national record temperatures. Widespread and long-lasting heat waves, record-breaking fires, and other devastating events such as tropical cyclones, floods, and droughts have impacted socioeconomic development and the environment. Despite the situation, politicians like U.S. President Donald Trump insist on denying the effects of climate change and call it a myth.
The U.S. military says there were more troops injured at the military base in Iraq when it came under attack in retaliation for the U.S. assassination of Iran's General Qasem Soleimani. U.S. Central Command announced that apart from the 11 previously announced injured, additional troops were being treated. Thus far, the Central Command has refused to specify the exact figure, apparently attempting to save face for the U.S. military in the wake of what many observers are calling a disastrous defeat. On January 8th, the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps fired ballistic missiles at Ain al-Assad, and another outpost in Erbil, the capital of the semi-autonomous Iraqi Kurdistan. The missile attack was in response to the January 3rd assassination by U.S. drones of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani.
The president of the National Assembly, Luis Parra, has announced that the parliament will name a special commission that will be in charge of investigating the use of the alleged humanitarian aid funds sent to sectors of the extreme right of Venezuela by the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. He also indicated that a request will be sent to the United States asking that country's authorities to investigate the resources given by USAID because we don't know where that money went. Earlier in the day, Parra stated through Twitter that USAID has provided $467 million since 2017. Of that amount, Juan Guaido has received $180 million since January 2019, as reported by the Venezuelan news agency AVN on its website. The self-proclaimed president of Venezuela, Juan Guaido, seems to be having a hard time staying in the spotlight. He now plans to create a presidential commission to restructure Telesur in order to serve his interest and to provide a channel that helps him stay relevant.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC. If you're in and around the Cuban capital, you may be listening to us on your FM radio. That is, if you're tuned in to 102.5 FM. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's Lena Valverde.
The vice president of the Cuban Institute of Friendship with the Peoples, ICAP, Abel Sosa, denounced the fascist coup perpetrated against the sister nation of Bolivia in November. Sosa expressed the solidarity of the Cuban people with former President Evo Morales and with the leadership and basis of the movement towards socialism, the Bolivian people and all the native communities, victims today of the aggression and threats by the most reactionary sectors. He stressed the importance of the 2009 political constitution of Bolivia, which created a plurinational state. Former Bolivian ambassador Ariana Campero condemned the criminalization and political persecution of the principal leaders of the leftist movements by the de facto government, which is servile to Washington's interests. Campero stressed the importance of the unity of the Bolivian people and the leftist parties in order to have a conscience and clear preparation in view of the next elections to be held on May 3rd. She also thanked Cuba for its solidarity and the Latin American nations for their resistance against the right-wing criminal onslaught to which they are being subjected.
Venezuela and Cuba are united by unbreakable ties of cooperation and brotherhood in spite of the economic blockade imposed by the United States against both countries, said Cuban National Assembly Representative Orlando Gutierrez. On the occasion of the World Meeting Against Imperialism, which began on Wednesday in Caracas, Gutierrez highlighted the solidarity between the two nations, which is reinforced by the Comprehensive Cooperation Agreement signed in 2000 by Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro. Gutierrez informed Prensa Latina of collaboration in the field of health, with free and quality services, in addition to achievements in education, sports, and culture, which is beneficial for both peoples. Gutierrez reaffirmed that the Cuban delegation in the anti-imperialist event intends to enhance solidarity with the Venezuelan people against the media and economic aggression to which the Bolivarian nation is subjected. He stressed the importance of maintaining unity for the victory of ideas and called for solidarity both with Venezuela and with other just causes, including the denunciation of outrages committed against the Palestinian people.
Almost half a billion people around the world are stuck in poverty as they struggle to find work or a job that is adequately paid. This according to an International Labour Organization report. For millions of ordinary people, it is increasingly difficult to build better lives through work, said the Director General of the International Labour Organization, Guy Ryder. Persistent and substantial work-related inequalities and exclusion are preventing them from finding decent work and better futures. That's an extremely serious finding that has profound and worrying implications for social cohesion. The labor organization noted that more than 470 million people in the world are affected by insufficiently paid work and lack the employment opportunities that would meet their needs. The report also said that a further 119 million had either abandoned actively searching for work or could not access the jobs market. In addition, the United Nations Agency observed that unemployment is projected to increase by around 2.5 million in 2020.
In Colombia, protesters took to the streets of the capital and other cities, rejecting the assassination of social leaders, abuses by the police, and neoliberal policies of the Iván Duque administration. Several clashes between demonstrators and the police took place during rallies in Bogotá and several regions of the country, in the context of a day of protest in Colombia where isolated cases of repression were reported. The most serious incident happened in Bogotá when a group of demonstrators confronted the police after the authorities tried to clear a barricade erected on the road by protesters. In addition, the organization Campaign to Defend Freedom denounced repression by police officers against the protesters. This is the first protest of the year after the massive demonstrations in November and December against the social and economic measures of President Iván Duque's government.
In Australia, uncontrollable fires are continuing to rage across the continent. Officials are warning residents near the capital suburbs to take shelter inside their homes as a massive fire approaches the Canberra airport. In addition to killing 29 people and more than 1 billion animals, the unprecedented fires in Australia have also released massive amounts of greenhouse gas emissions, which will even further fuel the climate crisis. In related news, Spain's new leftist coalition government has declared a climate emergency and says it will send ambitious climate legislation to Parliament within 100 days. The legislation, aimed at avoiding the most catastrophic impacts of climate change, will include achieving zero carbon emissions in Spain by the year 2050.
In the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed the first case of coronavirus in the United States, a new virus that emerged in Wuhan, China, last month. The virus has already spread from China to at least 4 countries, including the United States, and has killed at least 17 people in China. In more health news, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has issued a warning about sunscreen, saying that 7 chemicals can be absorbed into the bloodstream after only a single application of sunscreen. The levels of the chemicals absorbed exceed safety standards and have not been fully tested. The FDA is calling on the sunscreen industry to conduct further testing, but it is not telling people to stop using sunscreen.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
President Miguel Díaz-Canel meets with the diplomatic corps accredited in Cuba.
Cuban foreign minister calls for action against climate change.
Pentagon admits more U.S. troops treated after attack on U.S. Iraqi base.
Venezuelan National Assembly to investigate U.S. funding of Guaido.